This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best and free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. It's been a while. I'm your host, Darren, a.k.a. Analysis 489, Week Late Podcast retro episode. Like I said, it's been a while. For our new listeners, thank you for tuning in. It's been about a week. On average, you put two episodes out per week. Lately, it's been one a week, mostly because of good news, which we shall get to in the second portion. You're going to hear an intro to a new episode, this one being kind of random. Normally, new episodes happen in theater. Lately, scheduling has, sanctioned otherwise, shall we say. This time it's going to be Layer Cake. Had a conversation with a friend of mine over Daniel Craig's version of 007 versus all the other versions of 007 the James Bonds we've experienced throughout the years, and it got me thinking about an old movie that I had never seen called Layer Cake. This time it's available through once again my Xbox 360 through the Crackle app. You can also catch Crackle online and on mobile. I have the mobile app on my Android device, and online. Once I figured out it was on 360, I just went ahead and did that as well. I was browsing the movies, and I came across Layer Cake. As per the use, I will read the description and the cast, and also some things that I picked up on that weren't readily available. But for those of you who don't know, Layer Cake is a movie that was released in 2004. That should be correct. I had to IMDb that per request from one of the first correspondents and feedback I've gotten. I know that people are listening because I got on my personal Facebook page, which is also facebook.com/analysis and then the numbers 489. Somebody that I don't know, had never heard of before, hit me up on my Facebook page and said I should do some more research, which is kind of a running joke, which is kind of why it's funny that this fan mentioned that. If he knew anything about this show, he would know that I don't do any research, which is kind of the whole joke. But the later episodes do dictate that I did start doing some research and some reading and all that kind of stuff. But in particular, this one, I picked up on a couple of actors that weren't included in the description on the Crackle app. But I want to go ahead and read the description of the actual movie from Crackle. And, you know, if there were still DVD boxes for those people that still use Blockbuster out there, it might say this on the back. A successful cocaine dealer planning an early retirement is lured back into business by a love interest and an international drug ring. Clearly starring Daniel Craig, all these other names besides Colm Meaney, I do not recognize. Dexter Fletcher, Kenneth Cranham, George Harris, I may recognize, Jamie Foreman, and Michael Gambon, or Gambon, depending on where this film was made, directed by Matthew Vaughn. I don't know if this Vaughn is directed to Vince Vaughn, maybe, spelled the same, but highly unlikely. I don't know. Maybe it is. Two of the names that weren't included in the cast were of memorable recognition, especially due to recent films like Dark Knight Rises. Tom Hardy makes an appearance in this movie. I don't know if he's a major character. And also Sienna Miller, who is pictured on the cover but isn't in the cast description from the Crackle app for some reason, so there's that. Also missing from most of our retro episodes is a 5-star system of rating. I do 0 to 5 because a movie can be that bad to receive a 0 from me. This one doesn't have a Crackle rating, so I don't know what to go by other than my expectations. And in this particular case, I would say from the trailer that I remember from way back in the day, this is supposed to be one of those underground Formula 51 type movies. By the way, Formula 51 is one of those movies that gets a 0 for me. It actually stars Sam Jackson, and it's the worst movie I've ever seen him in my entire life. It's really bad. Go check that out if you want to waste 2 hours of your life. Hopefully it's not as bad as that, but it's like one of those sort of Snatch-esque films. I don't know if anyone's into that, but go catch out? Go snatch out? Snatch. Go catch Snatch, and it has Brad Pitt and a bunch of other people with Cockney accents. Go check that out. So, in the absence that I've taken, I've accrued a lot of surprise movies that I wasn't planning on doing reviews for, and some TV shows and catching up that I've been doing since then, and also some updates as far as the music blog are concerned. Those are coming up in the second portion. Normally, these types of movies don't have trailers, but sometimes these apps run commercials, so if they're notable, I will note them and comment. Also, I don't know how long this movie is. Running time, I'm guessing, is anywhere between 140 and 2 hours, depending on what version this is. I'm not sure what Crackle's got going on as far as director's cuts and stuff like that. Speaking of which, I did already mention that. Underneath the director's notes on Crackle, they have a show called Why It Crackles, and the movies that they feature get a 15 to 30 minute featurette on the Crackle app, which again is called Why It Crackles. And this one says, Daniel Craig oozes steely cool as he journeys through the British underworld in an intricate, surprise-packed crime yarn. All right, so there you go. That's the summation, and I'm about to watch the movie. Go catch it on Crackle or Amazon. I'm sure it's available a bunch of other places wherever you get your movies. Again, for our new listeners, I am not sponsored or paid by any of these companies that I mentioned. It's just a way for me to bring and continue bringing free content to you guys. So go pop some popcorn and check out Layer Cake with Daniel Craig, Tom Hardy, Sienna Miller, and a bunch of other people we don't know, featuring Cole Meany. For those of you that are Star Trek nerds, Cole Meany is from Star Trek, I want to say The Next Generation. Since I'm not a Star Trek nerd, I don't know that for sure. I think he played a doctor. Could be completely wrong. I will bring that up in the second portion if that is in fact correct. All right, go do that. Killer intro. Thanks for listening. Check out some retro music. By the way, I'm still waiting for somebody to contact me if they know where the theme song originates from for only the Week Late Retro episodes. It's from a distinct TV series. I've given that clue. If you know that, hit me up. Darren, a.k.a. Analysis 489, on Twitter, at Analysis 489, at FenPromos, or at A Week Late, because I run all three. Or email me, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Go check out Layer Cake, like I'm about to, and then I'll be back for the second portion for updates and spoilers, and some updates. Did I just say that? Yeah, I just did. All right. Cheers. Welcome back, everybody, to part two of Week Late Retro episode for Layer Cake. Holy crap. If I didn't get to finish my thought in the first half of the review, my expectations going into this movie were middle of the road at best. Super blown away by this movie. Couple of gripes with it, but not that many. For our new listeners, welcome to the second portion. This is where I talk about the movie for a bit, but not necessarily spoil it until you hear me do the countdown. Way too much of this movie is dependent on storyline. So right away, if you're not a fan of the movies that I mentioned before, like Snatch, then you're not really gonna like this movie. This movie's heavy dialogue, nothing but British accents. I love movies with British characters, Cockney accents, Aussie films even. Wow. I can't believe this movie got past me to begin with. First of all, I didn't understand at first why this movie was called Layer Cake. I think it's a tribute. I know it's a tribute from the director, the creators of this film. It's the title itself is a nod to how the movie was written. It has nothing to do with the movie itself, other than the instance in which it was told. I was correct in saying that Tom Hardy is in fact in this movie. He's in a good portion of it, although a background character. He doesn't have any major scenes, but he's in. He does have a lot of lines, but sort of as a background character. But it's healthy to say that it's the Tom Hardy from Inception and not Tom Hardy from Dark Knight Rises. I still don't know how he got so beefed up for that film. If you want to go listen to the criticism of his role, go check out the Dark Knight Rises episode. I believe I did that one with my brother. Unfortunately, it was the same weekend of the Aurora shootings. Go check that out. Wow. This movie has multiple, I mean, it's sort of a flashback to a flashback to a flashback inside of a story, inside of another story that goes back to the main story and then a flashback. It's like unbelievably intertwined with itself. I'm clearly at a loss for words, only because it's not that it was that great of a movie. I mean, there's plenty of movies that I've seen that sort of mimic this movie, but this one was done exceptionally well. At this point, I think I'm going to go into what I normally don't do is take notes, but since this isn't one of the episodes where I go and review a movie that's still at the theaters, I was able to, you know, jot some stuff down in reference to this movie, things that I thought were detrimental, great quotes, or maybe one or two. There were many, but if you're one of these people that don't like movies with heavy dialogue, I don't think there were any explosions in this movie. There was some gunfight, shooting, and stuff like that, but for the most part, it was fast dialogue. Like I said, story inside of story. If you're not going to pay attention to this movie when you watch it, don't bother. Super heavy on concept, super heavy on dialogue, storyline. Cole Meany, by the way, who I said was in Star Trek The Next Generation, might be true for a couple of crossover episodes, but I should have known that he is actually the Doctor from Star Trek Voyager. I said I wasn't a Trekkie before, but I have in fact watched the entire series of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Voyager, which are two separate Star Trek series for those who, this is the first time I talk about Star Trek like this. Besides the Star Trek remake by J.J. Abrams, which I absolutely love. The movie. Cole Meany, and this is one of the, I'm about to get to the rating for this particular movie before I talk about spoilers, which there's no way that I could get through all the spoilers for this movie because there are at least eight different characters that get told, and then a surprise ending on top of a surprise ending. That in itself is not a spoiler, but before I get to the rating, the rating was lowered by the fact that it seems like the hero or the anti-hero of this movie played wonderfully by Daniel Craig. He was great in this entire film. But there were certain points in the movie where the character that they believed him, that they made him out to be, that you believe him to be, is sort of floundering at times. You can't really, for that particular reason, where his character is compromised, it loses some points here and there, because Colm Meaney beats the shit out of him at some point in the movie, and that's not a spoiler, but if I keep talking about it, it will be. That's one of the reasons why this movie loses a point with me. It's just not believable. Colm Meaney's character in the movie doesn't display any sense of violence until this point in the movie, and it's just not really that believable. I'm like, why does that happen? The soundtrack to this movie is great. That's a reason why it maybe gained a point back. But all in all, going into this movie with low to middle expectations, actually middle to high probably, just because of Daniel Craig on his own, I think this movie met and exceeded my expectations. Dialogue is great. I mean, to write a movie with this much dialogue and so many references into the flashbacks and the, I don't know, the storytelling of the, just the layers of layer cake are unbelievable. I kept trying to keep track of where we were in the story, and while that's doable over the length of the film, it may not be doable per every section unless you're really paying attention, which I was, and it was still quite confusing, but it all made sense at the very end. For that reason, this movie gets of 4 out of 5 for me. I was going to give it a little bit more than that, but because of what I'm saying and when I'm looking back at it, there could have been certain things that could have made more sense. It's one of these things where you're sitting there thinking, does this only make sense because the filmmakers made it as such, or if I went back and watched it a second and third time, would I find more loopholes in the film? You know, sort of like Spider-Man style. Like, you watch it the first time to be immersed in the story, and then the second and third time you watch it, it's like, wait a minute. There's some continuity errors and stuff like that. I'm not sure if there are any continuity errors in this movie, but as far as being told to accept what's going on because they tell you it makes sense versus you actually grasping it, I'm not too certain about that. Some of the memorable quotes that I like in this movie, even the quotes that are memorable in this movie got split up. So before I start talking about that, let me do the spoiler countdown, because I'm going to get into the crux of the movie and then move on to fall TV show lineup, movies that I've seen and have wanted to review since our last show, some video games, and then like some updates for the music blog. So 5, 4, three, two, one. Spoilers. You know, a lot of times we don't have, I don't have a spoiler countdown for movies that are retro. If you haven't seen a movie that was released in 2004 and you're going to be mad at me for spoiling it for you, if I'm getting around to it and you haven't yet, that's kind of the whole reason behind a week late. Go F yourself for not seeing this yet. And if you haven't watched it and you're not going to and you still want to listen, then thank you for listening. But don't be mad at me if I spoil this movie and you're still listening and you don't want spoilers. Even the quotes in this movie are split up sometimes into the flashbacks, because one of the perfect quotes of the movie was this one that goes, what was it? The art of good business is being, the art of great business is being a good middleman. And I thought that quote was perfect by itself. I don't necessarily relate to it because I myself am not a middleman. When it comes to business, well, I might be considered that. I'm not too sure, depending on who you talk to. But the fact of the matter is that this movie was based on the description calls him a successful cocaine dealer, which only happens for like the first 15, not even 10, maybe 10 minutes of this movie. And then after that, it revolves completely around him trying to get back a shipment of ecstasy pills that were lost at the beginning of the movie. Never again was cocaine mentioned. A couple of times it shows up in drug-related scenes. By the way, this movie, not really a hard R, but it is an R. Within the first 15 minutes, there's a couple of sex scenes, but throughout the whole thing, there are drug references and not that much, you know, blood and violence, but some. For whoever likes to, you know, visit movies with friends and family that may not appreciate movies like this, that's your warning. Later on in the movie, the quote is completed by saying, "The art of great business is being a good middleman. Putting people together, it's all about honor and respect." So in that sense, I guess as a promoter and a businessman, I can sort of respect that, because there's this sort of relationship that you build with your clients and your customers and your fans, that you are kind of a middleman. You serve, as a matter of fact, one of our old slogans for the music blog that I run is Fen Entertainment. Free mixes and tunes available for download at FenEntertainment.com is connecting artists with their fans. That's something we did for Clench Fist. And their fans, we did a like an interview, like a music interview. And it's like bringing people together, but in this sense, these guys are drug dealers. And the whole crux of it is Daniel Craig needs to sort of hustle and double-cross different parties in order to make everybody happy and for him to escape alive. There are some mystery elements in it. There are actually some 007 elements in it. There's this one scene where Daniel Craig sort of numbs his guilt by doing a bunch of pills, and that sort of reminds me of Darren Aronofsky's Requiem for a Dream. If you guys haven't seen that yet, I might do a show on it. I haven't seen that in a while, and it's great. Where he mixes, I guess, some painkillers with his alcohol and drinks it, and his eyes widen It's very Requiem for a Dream-esque, and I know for a fact that Requiem for a Dream came out before this movie. So that may have been a nod to Darren Aronofsky, who has done numerous films. Tree of Life, I think, was one of them. Actually, Darren Aronofsky also did Requiem for a Dream. What else did I write down here? One of my favorite quotes also in this movie was, "Life is so good, I can taste it in my fucking spit." I love that line. I don't really know why. And then there was this, it's a good line. I mean, life is so good, I can taste it in my spit. I get that. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with money, pride, or power. It's just having the sense of stopping, looking around, and noticing that life is good. I just thought that was pretty cool. Layer Cake. Unbelievable storytelling, amazing writing, great story, great dialogue, 4 out of 5 from me. Go check it out. In order to not run too long, it's been a couple of episodes since I put a new one out, so I want to kind of breeze through the last few categories, but I do have a lot to say about the upcoming season of fall TV. So I'm going to go down that list. If I think of anything else about Layer Cake that I want to say, I'll probably add an addendum to whatever category I'm talking about. But, TV shows coming up, possibly already out because I'm a couple of days into the new TV season. Premieres are Revolution on NBC. If you guys haven't heard any of the previous episodes, I'm a huge J.J. Abrams fan. I love Cloverfield. T.J. Miller, Denver, yeah! That's a terrible, terrible likeness. But T.J. Miller was in that movie, along with a bunch of other, at that time, unknown on-screen personalities. J.J. Abrams also, tying it back to Star Trek, which Colm Meaney was in. Not in the movie, but tying it back to Star Trek nonetheless. The movie, the reboot, directed and produced by J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams' new TV show, which, by the way, Fringe is in its 5th and final season, I believe. Props to that show for making it so long. That's another J.J. Abrams TV show. J.J. Abrams is also responsible for producing Person of Interest on CBS, which is in its 3rd season, I believe, still going strong, with Jim Caviezel and the dude from Lost that played Benjamin What's-His-Face, for all you, that's a bad reference. Revolution takes place 15 years after a global blackout. I recently saw and posted a video available at fenentertainment.com/video, about the downfall, I guess, of the pilot episode, which you can catch streaming on Hulu. I'm sure it's on NBC.com as well. Again, not endorsed. I'm just letting you know where to go to get this shit for free. Revolution was criticized by saying, we're 15 years in the future as a blackout, why is everybody using, like, swords and crossbows and stuff like that? Like, our shotguns don't work. That's not necessarily the case. The weapons, the firearms were confiscated by, let's say, a dictator. I think his name is Monroe. If this were to happen in real life, you would have to imagine that individuals would rise up and start creating their own local governments without contact or communication with the rest of the country, let alone the planet. So different factions and militias would naturally rise up. People would protect their own neighborhoods and areas. So to that lady, I think she was, and you guys can go check this out, like I said, fenentertainment.com/video. Just go to fenentertainment.com and click on the video button. There was this review called What to Watch. It's with Kumail Nanjiani. If you guys, obviously, if you're into comedy and whatnot, Kumail Nanjiani is super funny. He has his own podcast on the Nerdist channel called The Indoor Kids with his wife, Emily V. Gordon. Great podcast, but he got to a discussion about, you know, why are we in the future and their shotguns don't work. This is a show where electronics stopped working, and they were criticizing the fact that nobody had firearms. Firearms are not electronics. However, 15 years in the future, by the time this pulls around, they have this sort of dictator for this area has confiscated firearms and has left it to the people to fend for themselves, therefore leaving close-range hand-to-hand combat weapons still available for people. So that lady from, I believe she was from TV Guide or some kind of TV channel, she claimed that she watched the whole episode, but clearly she did not watch the whole pilot, otherwise she would have known. The one reason she was ditching the whole show, she clearly wasn't paying attention. She's not listening to this, but fuck her. Also, what else do we have? Premiere of the new season of Saturday Night Live. We're already two episodes in for that. The first week was... Jesus, what's his name? Creator of Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane, was on the premiere episode for Saturday Night Live, which I actually got to see most of it. I was kind of skeptical, but it's actually pretty funny. Second episode was with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, also from, wow, he ties into Layer Cake through Tom Hardy, who he was in Inception with, and he's also in Looper, which is what movie he was promoting when he did the second episode of Saturday Night Live. I'm a huge fan of his. I actually reviewed 50-50 with my boy Jason. He was the original co-host for A Week Late Podcast. Go back and listen to... Jesus, what is it, like 40 episodes with me and him? Something like that? Him and I? Whatever. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I actually commented on how much he didn't look like Bruce Willis with an episode that I did with my brother in the previous weeks. The more and more that I look at, I guess the propaganda is working because I'm buying it now. The more I see Joseph Gordon-Levitt made up as Bruce Willis, the more I buy it. Maybe he's just that good. I don't know if it's working on me. They're brainwashing. Still watching Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. He produced a new TV show that's only had one episode, I think, since its premiere, which is kind of a bad sign. Guys with Kids premiered. It's on my Hulu account. I have yet to watch it, but since it's produced by Jimmy Fallon, I want to see it. It's with Anthony Anderson. He's been out of the spotlight for a while, I think due to some legal issues, but he was also on CSI, I think one of those shows, for a really long time. Just as the title states, it's a show about guys with kids. Not sure if it's going to make it, to be honest with you, but I would like it to make it because I'm a huge fan of Jimmy Fallon, but sometimes, you know, things don't work out. Also, premiering is a show on the CW that's a spinoff of Smallville, which I'm a huge fan of. I haven't gotten past season 5, and Smallville is probably one of the longest-running shows. I never expected to go so long. I haven't talked about Smallville in a while. I expect to do an entire show just on it. For those who don't know, Smallville is a show that used to be on the WB that carried over to the CW in its transition for close to 8 years and 10 seasons, followed the story of Clark Kent in his hometown of Smallville, Kansas, before he became Superman. So much so, the storyline was rewritten just to fit the TV show because a lot of it didn't follow any sort of story that was in the comic books. In other words, Doomsday and the Justice League was sort of formed inside of the Smallville storyline before that even happened to him in the chronological order of the comic books. But that being said, with the Justice League, there was Green Arrow. And even though it's based on the same character, there's a different actor playing the lead role in the new CW. They dropped the green, and they're just calling it Arrow on the CW. I do plan on recording this, but my OCD won't let me watch it without finishing Smallville first. So I have to go back and watch like another 5 seasons of Smallville just to catch up in order to pick up on the Arrow storyline. From what I hear, it's a little bit darker than the Green Arrow version that they introduced in the Smallville series, but it's still the CW, so it can't really get that dark. I mean, for God's sakes, they do Vampire Diaries and shit like that, so which I do not recommend. Never seen it, but I don't recommend it. Another show that premiered that I fear is already on the chopping block is a show called Animal Practice. The only reason I know this show exists is because I'm I'm a huge fan of Weeds on Showtime, I believe, which is in its last season, I believe, season 5 or 6 of Weeds. I believe I'm all caught up into the 4th season, so I might be a little bit off on that, but clearly it's over because the uncle to the kids in that show plays the lead in Animal Practice. Actually, he's the... I hate to say, but he's actually playing backup to a chimp. I might be wrong on that. I think there's a difference between chimps and monkeys. One of them has tails and the others don't. I'm not sure about that, but... PETA is in a huge uproar over Animal Practice, saying that animals aren't actors. To that I say Lassie and Mr. Ed. So go fuck yourselves, PETA. That's Black and White, for anybody who doesn't know that shit. So before they attack Hollywood for actually employing animals, which, by the way, humans make that paycheck. PETA's, I don't know. You know, for anybody that we have fans of PETA, I love what they do, but just give it a rest already. So maybe go check out Animal Practice. I haven't seen it myself, but I really don't see a comedy with animals making it anywhere. That's like 1980 style. I don't know what they were thinking with that. Best of luck to him, but that's just, you know, not working. Also, The New Girl is back. I love that show. If you haven't watched it, that's on Fox. Go check it out. That has, what's her name that escapes me? Jesus. Chloe Deschanel? Yeah, her. She's great. She's gorgeous, and she also sings. She's in a band called She and Him. Go check that out. Also premiering is, what else? Oh, Parks and Rec season 3, I believe, came back on NBC. I watched the first episode today. Just, it's great. Go see that. Aziz Ansari is in that. And he's one of my favorite stand-up comedians. He's great. John Ralphio did not make an appearance. For anybody who's watched Parks and Rec, or just Google it, John Ralphio by himself is funny to watch. He's a character from that show. I think that's pretty much it for TV, so I'm going to move on to movies. Not too much to say here. I have seen a lot since the last time I reviewed a movie, but I will say, if you haven't seen Source Code, it's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it, and it's one of these movies that I really enjoy that has to do with, actually I think I may have kind of done a mini review for this already, but just in case, I'll go over it again, because it's really the only movie that I have to review, besides the one I just talked about. Mini review, I would give it probably like a 2.5 out of 5, since technically, obviously, it's been out of theater for a while. Some really heavy plot holes, but the acting was pretty good, and the music wasn't all that great. The soundtrack was kind of, I don't know. But it's one of these movies that you kind of replay the scenes over and over again until you figure it out. And I kind of figured it out. It was very predictable to me ahead of time, but if it's one of these things where you just kind of want to shut your brain off and not really think about it too much, it's good to watch. So go catch Source Code. I like Jake Gyllenhaal, unfortunately. I don't know why I said unfortunately. I mean, he's kind of been in some lame movies, but the movies that do stick out of my head are great that he does. So one being, what's this one? I was first introduced to Jake Gyllenhaal in a movie called, shit. Anyway, probably going to edit that out. I won't. Donnie Darko. That's where I first got introduced to Jake Gyllenhaal. And if you haven't seen Donnie Darko yet, it also has a sequel, which I haven't seen, called S. Darko, about his little sister, years later, and a prequel with The Rock, believe it or not. That name escapes me, and I'm not going to stop and look it up. Real quick, with video game update, I have pre-ordered Assassin's Creed 3. For those of you that don't know, go play Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 and everything in between. The storyline is the shit. The gameplay is awesome. This one takes place in, I guess what you would call the American Revolutionary War. You know, Boston kid, and New York. Fast forward from like the second Assassin's Creed, where they're doing like the 1400s, you're looking at the forming of the United States for Assassin's Creed 3. It's a completely new character. I don't want to bore anybody that doesn't pay attention to that kind of stuff, but I pre-ordered it. I'm going as one of the assassins for Halloween, if I make it to any parties, because I'll probably be too busy playing the fucking game. There is a downloadable game that's getting a lot of recognition right now on Xbox Live called Mark of the Ninja. I'm not even going to mess it up for you. If anybody wants to go out there and hook up with me on Xbox Live, my gamer tag is the same as my Twitter handle. It's analysis and then the numbers 489. And if you don't know how to spell analysis, I don't want you to look me up. don't message me. There you go. I think that's it. I'm done talking. I know that was kind of long, and I applaud myself for doing it on my own. I am going to try to get back into the theaters with some surprise guests. I have a lot of stuff that I'm planning. Some updates that I want to get into real quick. Rocket Sports and Entertainment is a long-time friend of the show, friend of the music blog. There's a new featured partners tab to the right of the Fen Entertainment blog and also on theweeklate.com that has a link to his website. I'll be picking up WordPress to manage Rick Sassone. He is the founder and creator and CEO of Rocket Sports and Entertainment. They are Rocket Sports -ent.com. Been working with them for a long time, cross-promoting. He does play-by-play for high school football in the Tampa Bay area, and will be doing a lot more with some bodybuilders, some DJs. We're looking to get into... We have comedy, sports, and movies. Pop culture, what else do you want? For free, doing it up, getting that taken care of. We'll have some spots coming up on the radio for the local Florida area, Central Florida, coming up on AM stations and Don Imus in the morning and the afternoon drive. So if you guys like podcasts, look out for that on the radio. I think that's it. Those are like the only things I really wanted to get out of the way. Thank you guys for listening. I'm sorry I talked so much, but I mean, it's been a while since I talked to you guys. So please tell your friends. Thank you for the feedback. I hope the guy that gave me the feedback, he actually mentioned he hadn't gotten through any of the episodes because he doesn't like it when I talk over people. Not too sure which episodes he's listening to because I've been doing it mostly by myself. And when we did have guests, I wasn't infamous for speaking over them, but thanks for listening anyway. I don't think he's still paying attention. But for the people that are, thank you very much for sticking around. I'd like to give a shout-out to Rookies Sports Bar and Grill in Spring Hill, Florida, Rick Sassone and Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network in Tampa, and also Capone's, which is a sports bar and grill also in Spring Hill, Florida. They do a lot of poker tournaments, 8-ball tournaments, 9-ball tournaments for you pool players out there. If you have any questions or want to hit me up, you can do that multiple ways. As far as the podcast is concerned, it's aweeklate.com. You can find us on Twitter, @aweeklate, on Facebook, .com/aweeklatepodcast. Catch me personally, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Fenentertainment.com for the music blog and free music downloads. @fenpromos for the music blog Twitter. And my personal Twitter is @analysis489. Once again, if you don't know how to spell analysis, Google it. Otherwise, I don't want to hear from you. Go fuck yourself. But I can't take that away from Bill Burr, which, by the way, I did a review for his White Trash Tour. Go check that out. Also available on weeklate.com and iTunes. Please, 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 please go to iTunes, leave some comments. There are 5 stars. Click all 5 and leave some notes. I don't even care if you are an iTunes user or not. That helps me out. I don't know how. It just does. Yeah, interact. I need to know that people are listening. Otherwise, I'm just an asshole talking into a phone all by himself. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis49, and I will see you a week ago. This episode of Weekly is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com.
offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.